Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have titles defended, opportunities lost, and a town hall debate, but you can't put a bow on AEW Dynamite until we wrap it up here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Elite of the Week.
Elite of the Week.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer. I'm coming to you live from the world famous Elite of the Week studios, and have we got a show for you. We've got the Eliminator Tournament, we've got the NWA Women's Title, and we even have an announcement that the Young Bucks may have their last ever title match. But before we get into all that, we need to have a little chat. We need to have a little heart to heart. See, today wasn't just about having a regular episode of AEW Dynamite. No, today was about karma. Today was about being careful what you wish for. Everyone was crying about wanting to see Kenny Omega, the version that was the legend in Japan. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, you have it, but that means he's going to wipe the floor with everybody you love. Everyone begged to see Orange Cassidy get a big shot match with the very best in the company, and he did. But that also meant you had to watch him fail twice. Everyone was talking about wanting to see the Young Bucks finally prove they're the best tag team in the world. But that means they may never again have a chance to prove it. And everybody wanted to see what would happen if MJF and Chris Jericho got together? But now the cost is going to be, well, we'll see. In fact, we'll see about all of it. But before we start talking about all of those details, let me introduce to you my partner, the man that doesn't need to be built by an evil AI to have all the answers ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Flo Bo Boyce. How you doing,
hey, I'm good, man. You know, even though the whole world is all these shows we do are kind of non-canon, I'm still kind of upset of last night in the Everything Tournament. So I'm going to power through that as we talk about Elite of the Week. What a fantastic display of in-ring action.
The Everything Tournament every Tuesday. By the way, if you want to see tactical genius,
no,
that's where you need to tune in. I played everyone like a bunch of fiddles. I made them all dance like my puppets, and it worked just great. Whew, came in close there, like all great battles do. It was, I threaded the needle with that win, but we
the worst one ever.
I like how we call it a win.
Yeah, like, we won nothing.
but man, lots of stuff was happening, and you would think this was leading up to the Thanksgiving episode, the way they set the table for us for Full Gear. But what did you think about the show?
Definitely Full Gear is on the horizon. This show definitely, like you said, set the table to the fault. There were some segments we talked about during the show. I felt that ran a little long, but it's okay because not every show needs to have guys jumping on their heads to make you go, I wonder what happens next. You'll get to that a little bit later because this is only just an overture. But the finals are set for that tournament. We'll know with MGF what's going on with him. Like, so many good things now we have a little bit more information on. So I'm okay with it. It was a solid program, you know?
Yeah, I'd say that there were a lot of points about this episode that felt very predictable. But when you have great talent, that's kind of what happens, right? Like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, it's predictable. LeBron James winning a title, it's predictable. When you have great talent, sometimes you get predictable outcomes. And I think the only time that's a negative is if you aren't a fan of greatness. And I'm a fan of greatness, so I'm a fan of this episode, Flobo.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, because a lot of fans of the wrestling arts and sciences would say, oh, it's so predictable, I can foretell what's happening. But you're saying, forget that hogwash and malarkey. It's okay to be predictable if LeBron James is wrestling.
If LeBron James was a wrestler, I would be down to have him win all the titles. He's amazing. He probably would be one of the best of all time.
There it is. Crossed up.
Crossed up. That would 100% be the name of his move. The crossed up. And it would be terrible, but we'd all love it. I want to start with the LeBron James of AEW, and that's Kenny Omega. People have begged for the cleaner Flobo. They've begged, they've pleaded, and now they got it. He came out letting everyone know just how great he was. He came out with the Omega title that he won by beating Phoenix, and I like that he put that out there. He rubbed it in, and he should. He's a champion. It also highlights that the talent of AEW is truly global, as we saw two titles from two different companies in one night, but I digress. This is Omega, and it's the version that we've wanted for some time, and I don't believe the tag team Kenny would have won this match, and I don't believe that tag team Kenny would have done the things necessary. Like, I don't think tag team Kenny would have beaten Sonny Kiss so quickly last week that he could have come in this week basically fresh and beaten a Penta who was battered and bruised by a big match with his brother last week. And I think that's one of the reasons he won, is because he has this new attitude. He had a fantastic match. It was hard-hitting. Omega's telling people now who whined and complained about him. He's telling you, Flobo, like, you whined and complained. That's time to stick it.
What? I am going to complain because this cleaner is okay. I'm all right with it. But it's not the cleaner we're used to. And that may be the whole point of this new version of Kenny Omega. I gave it 2 weeks. He should probably stop with the cleaning girls. I don't quite get it because those brooms aren't touching the ground. They're not even cleaning. But I like this match for a couple reasons. One, Kenny Omega gets to reestablish his moveset. He's a little bit more aggressive. That's what we all asked for. Despite the fact the AEW roster isn't quite built for that. Like, we now are getting into a whole thing. We're getting to character motivations. We're getting into alliances and factions. You're going to have to line up some guys for Kenny to take down to make sure his new cleaner version is strong. I hate to be the guy who's looking on week 3 or week 4 or week 5, who that's going to be. And second of all, besides all of that, you got Rey Fénix sitting there going like, man, I won that match and I beat the guy, but he gets my spot and he lost again. Will this be trouble in paradise for the Lucha Bros?
That's a good question. I found it quite ironic that Phoenix couldn't finish the tournament, but he was wearing a checkered flag for a shirt. Just didn't seem appropriate.
He loves greatness as much as Jack does. That's
but I think I like that because it's already baked in that Phoenix has a right to complain about his shot at the title at this point, right? I mean, he does kind of have a point. I did think it was unfair that Penta had a match, though, because if they had said multiple times, if there's a tie or if there's a double count out, that both people are out. I think if Pentagon loses and then Phoenix gets hurt, I think that means Omega should have moved on to the finals.
Yeah, and I think tag team Kenny would have, but again, they wanted to reestablish it. I think they want to reestablish a cleaner to see how has he progressed. So when they have the finals, which, you know, I'm the spoiler alert, it's going to be against Hangman Page, you would have that package of him beating two people on the way to the finals.
We do it all for the packages. Now, speaking of the finals, we're getting to the end there, and Hangman Adam Page, who I think this was the rootinest tootinest fight in the entire tournament, Flobo. Hangman Adam Page, he does the near impossible. He beats Wardlow. I'm a huge fan of Adam Page, and I don't hide it, and I think it's time for us to stop worrying about his drinking, stop worrying about who he's hanging around with, and start letting the cowboy ride free, because he's getting results and he's becoming someone who could very well be the next AEW heavyweight champion. So Flobo, right now I'm going to ask you, I think the only person in the company that might be as tough as Hangman is the guy wearing the strap, but he took quite the beating from Wardlow tonight. Is it enough to wear him down before his big showdown with his former partner Kenny Omega, especially considering just how tough Kenny Omega has been recently?
This is a mistake. This is a no-win situation for Hangman Page. Wardlow was my guy. He was my pick to win it all. But okay, wrestling gods, you're not going to give me what I want because I'm only one guy, one incredibly strong and handsome guy. I understand. But now you have Hangman Page against a Kenny Omega who is re-energized in the final. Now, if Hangman wins, what's that say about the cleaner? What's that say about Sonny Kiss and Penta? If Kenny Omega wins, this rough, rootin', tootin', tough guy has to take a giant, fat L. which means he has to wait at least a month for his top at the gold, and then they cool him off because, frankly, when you're hot in AEW because there's rankings, you got to keep going. So I don't know, man. I'm glad Hangman Page won. I'm a fan of the guy, but he may be going into a buzzsaw when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I would not want to be on the other end of the cleaner express, whether or not his employees actually sweep the floor. But I think that, you know, I don't know. Something about this Hangman, I don't know if it's the buttless chaps. I don't know if the fact that he's rooting and tooting. I don't know if it's just that he's got that liquid courage keeping him going. It's just hard to put him down right now. And we go into, as you mentioned, Omega versus Hangman at Full Gear, a shot at the world title on the line. That means we're either going to get to see a rematch of Kenny Omega versus, well, I guess we'll talk about Eddie Kingston in a bit. Never mind. But we're going in. You know, I just want to say, as we look at the finals of this tournament and in the chat, shout out to the chat, Haywood Wong, Charlene. Haywood, by the way, he asked about my bracket, and I think it's fair. I just want to let everyone know, because as everyone knows, that I've had a perfect bracket forever. It's true. I've never been wrong. And if you check my bracket, you'll see that with a slight asterisk, it's still perfect because Phoenix got hurt. So that obviously changed everything. So you have to adjust things, and you know, suddenly the mathematics and the predictions scale a little differently. When you factor that in, it's still a perfect bracket with an asterisk.
Hey, I have a question. Remember last year where there was a tag team title tournament? Who'd you have winning that one?
You know, the winners.
Last year there was a King of the Ring. Would you have winning that one too?
Pretty. It's pretty accurate. I think if you just pulled up the results page, you're basically getting the same bracket.
Oh yeah. Which is King Ricochet. I remember that. Yeah, King Ricochet.
Just a little asterisk. So I think it's fair to say that the streak lives on. You should start saying my name like a Goldberg chant. It's just the way you should do it.
In my house, there's no one around. No one cares.
Yes, I want your neighbors to be like, keep it down over there.
Who?
I mentioned the chat, and I do want to take a quick moment to thank everyone for joining along. It's always very appreciated, whether you're joining us on YouTube or Twitch, or whether you're listening to the show after it airs on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever, you know, Spotify Podcasts. It's all over the place. It's very popular. But if you can do the world a favor, and by the world, I mean, Jack Farmer individually, leave us a review, especially on like Apple Podcasts, because the reviews mean the world there. So leave a 5-star review, say some flattering things about us. I know it's a headache to do it. I hate doing it for people too, but you got to do it. Well, you don't got to do it. It would just be appreciated if you did it. But I would love it if you did it. It'd mean a lot, and it would help the show grow. Speaking of a show,
is Charlotte doing a fancy chant in the chat?
Fancy, fancy. I love. Thank you. See, thank you, Charlene. See, she knows I'm right. I've got a perfect score.
You know what, Charlie? I thought we were cool.
Real quick, by the way, she mentioned the Dodgers win. I've lived in LA for a little bit now, and I've now seen a Lakers win and I've seen a Dodgers win back to back, and it is official, folks. LA is a Dodgers town. I thought the Lakers owned this town, but boy howdy, based on the celebrating last night, it's a Dodgers town. What are you shaking at? Am I wrong?
They won. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
bah humbug.
Bah humbug. Well, I know the Mets were really close this year. But
not even. We were not even considered. We were trash. I mean,
my closest allegiance is the Mariners, so I'm not going to get in a trash talking contest about baseball. But I do want to say, talking about things growing, shows growing, there was a Full Gear commercial tonight, Flobo, and it talked about surprise appearances throughout the past year, from like FTR showing up, Matt Cardona showing up, Thunder Rosa showing up. My question to you real quick is, do you think this is teasing a debut at Full Gear? And if so, who do you think or who would you like it to be?
I would love for Thunder Rosa to be signed officially, not be on loan, but with the collapse, and that's where I'm saying the word, the collapse of the new NWA, it would have to be all this. I don't see why it wouldn't be. Like, if I'm AEW, I would just buy him to hold him. And I think it would be the perfect time for having him debuting right in the throes of winter, because we know the big company up in Stanford is getting ready for their big show season. Here's some counter programming, a man's wrestler in Nick Aldis.
I 100% agree with you, Flobo. I want to see Nick Aldis show up in AEW. We've seen the NWA women's title defended. It's time to see the 10 pounds of gold defended there. And I know what Nick's saying. I know he's listening because he's a big, big fan of the show. Maybe. Yes. I don't know. But probably not. But he's watching, he's listening, and I know he's saying, Jack, I would love to do business, but Tony's got to write some checks. Great. That's fine. Someone write a check. Someone make it happen. That's how negotiations work. Tony's going to start right here. Nick's going to start right here. You guys keep talking until you meet in the middle, and the middle's the ring, and that's where I want to see Nick Aldis in an AEW ring, Flobo. How do we make it happen?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. If you are the guy who basically carried a company on your back, there's no way you're going to do a dark agreement, right? And I know you can't guarantee wins and losses, but Aldis has to be a top guy, because even though he's as great as we said he was on NWA Power, he's been off the shelf for a long time. So you have to come in quickly and impress, not in a battle royal. You got to give him the big debut, the video packages, the pyro, if you're going to give him pyro. You got to establish who he is as if he is the high price signing, as if this is NFL or NBA. Make him that guy. And if it works out with chemistry, Ellie, you have another person to play with. If it doesn't, then you can bring him down slowly. But the last thing you want to do is Matt Cardona, that guy.
I think he's such a star. I think he has such potential to be so big. And no disrespect to anyone else in the NWA, but I think the resurgence the new NWA was having was easily 95% Nick Aldis and his ability to be that champion there. I think he was so good as the champion.
Mark. I disagree. Question mark.
Yeah. Well, he was fun. He's fun. I like question mark too. I thought he was fun too. I have nothing against him, but and again, I don't mean in disrespect. There was a lot of great people on there while they were still running shows. Cole Cabana was great. Ricky Starks was great. James Storm was great. Thomas Latimer and his tag team partner. Camille was great. She's not the tag team partner, but they're right. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. They were all great. I just think it was the star power of Nick Aldis that led such credibility to them. So if I was running a promotion, I would be doing anything I could to sign that guy. But Flobo, this isn't an NWA show, so we shouldn't keep. But Nick, let's make it happen. Let's find a way to make this happen. Right now he's saying, I am not on a first name basis with you, Jack. Don't call me Nick. But I want to talk about the
he's a cease and desist name basis with you. Stop it.
He's So I want to talk about MJF, and I want to talk about the Inner Circle, and I want to talk about this very presidential town hall meeting. And I thought that this was a really great segment in the sense that we got to hear all the questions that we as fans are asking ourselves about what would happen if MJF were to join the Inner Circle. And I got to say, I know people don't like to say that MJF was right and he's the best thing ever, but Luchasaurus came out of nowhere with a question. He delivered it out of nowhere. It was incredibly intelligent. It was about economics, and not only did MJF have an answer, but he had a pre-prepared motion graphic ready to go. He has the foresight to be a part of a group like this. Flobo, tell me I'm wrong here.
Oh, to answer your question directly and first, because I usually meander away, you're right. MJF had all the answers, and that's how you win debates. That's how we install politicians and Supreme Court justices. You get the fire of questions, and if you do a good job, you get the job. Totally fine. But we've been teasing this Nick Bockwinkel-esque Luchasaurus for a year. He's really, really smart. And it's a stereotype. We think he's dumb. Okay, has that ever paid off besides the normal comedic act? This town hall was amazing because it set things up for the storyline. We have some cool guests. We even got character development for Peter Avalon, which is dope because I used to know him back in the day. Name drop. But hot take, and please don't call me Black Cornet, but it makes last week even less relevant. Like, what was the whole Debonair thing? So anyway, back on track. I love MJF for his stances and why he wants to join the Inner Circle. I like Jericho coming out and saying why he should and should not be. That dynamic was on point. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
I would never call you that because I don't want to be canceled. But
that's what I do to myself.
But I will say what I liked about this as well. First off, I like seeing Eric Bischoff in wrestling. I think he's a great character to have. I hope that they keep him around and they keep bringing him back. Haywood, for those listening, Haywood's asking where Flobo's tennis racket is. The man that doesn't need a tennis racket, Flobo Boyce. That's what I would do.
Actually, I used to have one, but he got me.
One of the things I liked about this as well is I like how that, again, they start off kind of silly, kind of goofy, kind of fun, but the tensions are rising. Mm-hmm. It's getting more and more heated. And I like that MJF literally said, I'm going to do anything to win this match. And that means something bad is going to happen when this match happens. Do we see them coincide? Can they work together, or would the very idea that MJF won a match against Le Champion be a death nail to the team?
The thing is, I'm waiting for that swerve where Jericho wants him on that team all along, and someone else is getting the shaft, the boot, the punch. I know Jake Hager is not there, wasn't there, but I wonder if the Inner Circle will maintain to be five, or will numbers change? Can it be a six-person faction? Will it be a schism? Will it split? Questions I have when it comes to that group. But I thought it was interesting. Once Sammy Guevara is involved in the match, he's taking the pin. Unfortunately, he has to be the fall guy. So I'm really thinking we're going to momentum for MJF's side going into Full Gear, and we're going to have ourselves the decision whether or not he joins it. If I'm putting my money on things, MJF wants to do it, gets to do it, and then Le Champion turns on a member of the Inner Circle and MJF and Jericho having the lights.
Well, it does seem that the stage is being set for that. Sammy Guevara not being very coy, not keeping the cards very close to the chest, telling MJF straight up he's going to stop him from joining the Inner Circle. And this guy that we've hated for so long suddenly seems quite the underdog that you're kind of rooting for here. But I think the schism, am I saying schism, schism, schism? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a wordsmith, folks. The divide within the Inner Circle here, it already is taking shape because Sammy Guevara and Ortiz are 100% against MJF joining. Now they're going to have a match next week between MJF, Wardlow, and Ortiz and Sammy Guevara. This stood out to me because Santana's not involved. And they said Santana was, 50-50 on MJF. Do you think this might clear an open for Santana to make a singles run?
I wonder that, because that's a question I asked before. After Proud and Powerful lost that parking lot match to Best Friends, and then it was a while where it was like going to be Hager and Jericho on the tag team ranks, whether or not splitting up the Proud and Powerful would be to the benefit. That way you can like really build these guys up individually and kind of have the whole like Wu-Tang Clan thing in reverse, have it come back together. But it seemed that there was a holding pattern for that. But if it is a split, I like the fact that it went down the line of that team because now it feels a lot more real to me. I would hate to see if like a group tag team's like, we hate him. And Sammy Guevara's like, he's cool. Like, to me, that'd be a bit too perfect to see. Way by his body language, though, I do think that he's okay with MJF being in the group. And if you have a singles run, I'll be here for it. Why not?
I really enjoyed Ortiz on the mic. I loved him as a character. He's one of the most entertaining people, I think, in the ring in general. He's just a fun character to watch. And Santana is a hidden weapon as far as a mic person and as far as a talent in the ring. I think once they let him go and like do something, whether it be on the microphone, whether it be as part of the tag team, whether it be singles, I think they're going to have a star on their hands. I think he's going to be a big deal for them. Long-term.
So we were saying that when the I don't know what you call this era, the 2020, when 2020 happened, when the incident happened, I feel like I'm in a superhero movie. When New York happened, and Jericho feuded with Matt Hardy and it was essentially over, right? You can only fight a drone so many times. The question you would ask me is, how do you keep the inner circle fresh? And I said, well, just focus on Proud and Powerful. Like they can, there are enough of the tools where they can be the driving force of this group because it's so big. It can, you know, have different divisions. And why not now? Why not bring it up? Why not make it happen now?
Yeah, it seems weird. I do think that something's going to happen with them because AEW seems to be pretty good about sort of pulling someone back until you forget about them and then going, bam, look at them now. And you go, oh, wow, where did this come from? This is great. This guy is perfect for this situation. So very cool to see that. It would be cool to see that. I'm a big fan of both those guys. And I'd love to see most of the inner circle is actually pretty, like I want to see some big things from. So I'm very interested. I think the odd man out here, though, that we're not talking about enough as far as being an odd man out in the inner circle and the merger with MJF is Wardlow. Wardlow, I think, seems to be in this spot. He almost had an opportunity at the world championship here. And when he started this match, he seemed damn near unstoppable. Everything Hangman, he just ate and kept throwing more offense at Hangman. It took an exploder off the top rope, followed by two buckshot lariats to put him down. And I think the only reason that he was able to get put down is because MJF was going to take his world title anyway. So he was like, what am I even doing this for? But Wardlow, we've sung his praises. He's such a great big man. He's someone that AEW can kind of claim as their own because he was never on WWE or NXT. Where does he fit in? Does he join the inner circle? And if the inner circle takes him in, then how does that change the dynamic with everyone involved? What's going on with Wardlow?
That is the biggest question mark. This is why I would have bet Monopoly money that he was going on that tournament because you got to separate them now because Wardlow was not a friend of MJF. MJF is buying him in. So the idea of that relationship is that there is a position of power. Unless they bring them both in and Wardlow has to serve two masters, but that could be a thing where it splits up at Jericho and MJF. That makes sense, but that's come at the end of an alliance. If you're going to join MJF with Jericho now, Wardlow will be that story beat kink. So I would love to, like, I would separate them as far as I can. I don't know if that means them breaking up. That means we don't mention Wardlow. It's kind of like just like a Reba character was in the background and not doing much in the ring as much. But the more Wardlow is out there, the more questions it raises.
It was interesting. He wasn't really a part of the whole town hall today. And it makes me wonder if that divide between those two is getting even bigger. I'd be happy to see him do something. Like I said, I think he's a beast. I think he is someone who's got a lot of potential with that company. I want to see more from him. I thought he did a great job with his matches. Again, just throwing people around. And I would have liked to have seen him have a match with Moxley one way or the other, or with Kingston or whoever the next challenger is.
Like an interview or like a normal Dynamite? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They burn down the house anytime they do stuff. So it's all good. I want to talk to you a little bit about John Moxley, though. He had another pre-recorded interview, a little video package where he talked really well. He always does these so well. But I'm starting to feel like, man, how can you be the champion if you never show up? Where are you, John Moxley? Why can't you come to a ring and say this to anyone's face? It's easy to be the tough guy when you're sitting behind a camera far away, pre-recorded, getting to say your lines, edit it, do retakes. Where are you, John Moxley? You talk like you're going to weaponize the title, but where are you? I want to see you in the ring. What's going on with Moxley, Flobo? I thought he's a champion.
I need everyone to clip that out and tag John Moxley, because when he comes to Jack's house, I want that on video. Look, man, you're the champ. You have the richest prize in the game. We don't really need you, man. One of the things we talk about AEW is the consistency of their storytelling, but sometimes the byproduct of that is going to be weeks where you're in a holding pattern or things don't advance the way they do. Other divisions need more story. Why have John Moxley there to fight like the random dark flavor of the week? Look, fighting champions are great if they're kind of a athletic face, if they're kind of like a face with no personality, if they're kind of like a face that has that work ethic as part of their thing, like an Eddie Edwards. But John Moxley, he's a lunatic fringe, man. He can do whatever the heck he wants. That's the one guy I don't mind as much. Whereas, like, when Lesnar did it, they were like, oh, come on, you know? John Moxley could be in the back of an Uber, and I'm like, fine, I'm sold.
Listen, Eddie Kingston said today that he thinks John Moxley's a coward. And you know what, Flobo? I'm inclined to agree, because ever since Eddie Kingston said, hey, man, I'm right here, I want to have a match with you, he's been gone. Well, no, he did come out for a match. He got choked out by Eddie Kingston. And since then, he's been like, oh, I'm just going to pre-record things. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be part of these matches. I think he's scared of Eddie Kingston. I think he knows that Eddie Kingston is better at him than what he does good. I think he knows that strength for strength, Eddie Kingston hits harder. I think he deals out more punishment, can take more punishment. And I don't see him saying, I quit for anything. But I see John Moxley quitting. I see him saying, I quit. I don't want to fly into town. Look, that's what I'm saying.
If John Moxley is a coward, then Eddie Kingston is a bully. You don't get to have title matches by complaining to the manager all the time. You don't get to have title matches by coming out wearing your dad's basketball trunks, beat up a Matt Sydal with a 2-4 record on AEW Dynamite. This guy has weaseled his way into the title picture undeserved, and now he thinks he's owed something just because he shows up every week. Well, I could tell you one thing. Showing up is half the battle, but you have to execute. Eddie Kingston has a losing record, yet he's still the number one contender. If I'm the champion, technically, he's not even worthy of my time. I should be in Tony Khan's office, pulling like Eddie Kingston, doing promos, being like, why are you putting this clown against me on a big money pay-per-view? Don't you like money?
I can't believe you're saying that Eddie Kingston doesn't deserve to be here when he's had such a long career of doing the things that John Moxley always says he wants to do, but is too busy entertaining to do, if you get my meaning, right? If I'm going to do the Eddie Kingston wink there.
Yeah.
I think that when you have the resume that is covered in as much blood as Eddie Kingston does, you don't need to prove anything in the ring, even though he did come out and he proved it by beating Matt Sydal today with Moxley's own move, just to show him that he can wrestle. Look, Eddie Kingston showed me today, not only is he the most scary looking person on the planet, and I could never hold eye contact with him, even if it was for $1 million.
Fair enough.
Tell me you could hold eye contact with Eddie Kingston for 5 seconds. I couldn't do it. But not only that, but he was in a match with Matt Sydal, and you can naysay his record all you want, but Matt Sydal, he came at Eddie Kingston today. He was aggressive, and Eddie Kingston showed that he can keep up with guys who know how to wrestle, and he can keep up with guys who can high fly. He can make people tap out and quit.
Look, I'm going to tell you a story about a faction you know very well, the NWO. For a while, people thought they were the best faction of all time. I know Jack does, but he likes Hollywood. It's Wolfpack. Wolfpack is way better in all things, right? But look, whether you like them or hate them, you and I can both agree, there have been factions that try to emulate Jade and Echoes, what the NWO was about. But they were an organic faction that had a clear vision. Fast forward a couple of years, I remember this episode of SmackDown when Vince McMahon complained. He goes, I'm bringing these guys in to kill my own creation, the NWO.
That was a great episode, by the way.
It was. But what the result of that was, the NWO came in and the WWE totally inoculated itself and made it completely sterile. What I'm saying is resumes are great, but the Eddie Kingston you're talking about don't exist anymore. Moxley is going to destroy that guy. This guy has been resting on his laurels because Moxley's been in the gym. come on, the physicality of this match puts it all the way into Mox's camp, and it's going to be his match to lose.
You and I both know that there's a different kind of strength when it comes to just like tough guy strength, that you don't use the gym. We know Eddie Kingston can knock someone out in a second if he wanted to, but I get what you're saying. I get going to the gym probably makes a difference here.
Buffs the stuff, man.
That was actually one of the episodes I remember the most, is when he like turned around, Vince turns around and it says the NWO. So
yeah, man, SmackDown classic.
I popped so hard for that moment. And it led to the greatest match of all time, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. Anyway, I better move on before I get my ats filled up with Jack. You don't know what real wrestling is. Speaking of real wrestling, I want to talk about the Young Bucks. Listen, Matt's leg is hurt. It's damaged. He's pretending like it's not. I'm watching these guys, and they've spent so long talking about how they're the best in the world, even though they don't have the titles to prove it. But here they are. Now they've got to prove it. And I've said before, I think that they made a mistake by getting into this match. I think they've realized it. And as I watch this promo, as I watch this conversation, you can see how emotional they are about this entire thing. And they're letting the emotions run the conversation, dictate their pace. Already, they're putting it on the line that if they don't win this match, they will never challenge for the tag team titles ever again, which is exactly what the calm, cool, and calculated FTR wanted. And right now, I have to think that FTR is playing the perfect game, like a game of everything tournament by Jack Farmer.
I don't want to agree with you now. I was going to agree with you into that last line. Look, if I told you a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, the revival, the FTR were taking on the Young Bucks, Generation Me, in a matchup, I would think most people would lean toward the Young Bucks. Sometimes it'd be a landslide, sometimes it might be close. But when it comes down to the pure awesomeness of the teams, it's always been the Young Bucks. So I agree with you. I don't understand the undue pressure they put on themselves in this upcoming matchup. It was really in their space. It was really in their lane. But now I'm kind of concerned. And they may not be able to win this one, because the Young Bucks have never really were a threat in the tag team division, at least in AEW side. If they're doing the Cody route, that could be the end of it.
Do you think that's what's going to happen? They're going to lead the fate of Cody? I've already seen on Twitter someone saying they lose and then they introduce the junior tag team champions.
I don't like that idea, but yeah, I definitely see an open door or escape or something like that, or unsanctioned matches galore is the easiest thing for sure.
I've said before, I hate weight limit titles in pro wrestling. Hate it. Don't really? Like it. Don't like it.
I've
mean,
used it before in my life.
Cruiserweight titles are fine. Like, I get it. Like, it gives an opportunity for them to have amazing matches and good things. But I've always just thought everyone should fight for the same thing. Why would anyone be okay with going after a weight limit title? I don't like them. I've never liked them. I don't like any title that limits who is allowed to participate in
it. It's a bastion from other combat sports, Jack. Like, why not?
Who cares?
All titles should be open weight. All of them.
Yeah. I think all titles should be able. I think everyone should be able to challenge for any title. I don't like the idea that someone could be like, oh, I could be a champion, but I'm just too big, you know, or I'm too small.
The body issues.
Like,
well, let me ask you this: are you a fan of the X Division, where it's just said, hey, look, it's going to be this fast-paced stuff, but it's technically open weight as well?
I liked it. Yeah.
Okay. See, that's my thing too. I think cruiserweight wrestling has always been a shorthand of these guys are lighter. It's going to be a faster match, because if you think of wrestling as a variety show, here's your sideshow, here's your jugglers, here's your clowns in a respectful way.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah. I like titles and I like divisions that offer something different. I just don't like when people are excluded from them for something they can't change. So. Well, like, if someone can wrestle, like, I guess the X Division is a good example. I mean, yes, most of them are smaller, but anyone could theoretically challenge for that title. It's just kind of the pacing of the match is what makes it. And that's what I like about it. I like, you know, like the NWA's TV title, where it has a purpose of if you can retain it, I think it's seven times, you get a world title shot. I like those things. I like the TNT title. It's like, that means you're going to defend it all the time. I don't like it that you can have someone who can't challenge for a title just because there's like, if it was the other way, if there was a super heavyweight title and you had to be 300 pounds, I wouldn't like that either. Cause I'd be who
would do that though? A four-man division.
That's
slapping meat.
I don't know, man. Some places have some pretty big fellas there. You could put together a decent division if you had a, I mean, 300 is a pretty heavyweight.
Not one worth watching, but I see what you're saying. I don't quite agree, but I see what you're saying.
So somewhere where we can agree, though, I think FTR, they're playing this right. I love, there's a line, and we don't need to talk too much about FTR because we did talk a little bit about the Young Bucks and they coincide. They had a great line and something that I wish wrestling did more, at least wrestlers did more. And they talk about how this is a dream match, but they're not worried about being a dream match. The most important thing is the tag team championships. And I love that they reminded us of that. The titles are the most important thing. It's not about having a dream match. It's about being the champions. I just like that mindset. I like it when wrestlers have that mindset. And I like that they didn't let Excalibur talk to the Young Bucks all day while they had to sit there and listen to it. I think it's great. I like that they control their destiny. I like that they say, look, I don't want to do this. I don't have to. Goodbye.
I agree with you. I like the fact that the championships are my first one. Now the idea comes down to, will the writing support that? There's a lot of wrestlers that say, I'm a prize fighter, or I fight for the cash, and then they tend to be getting forgotten. But if you don't, I think the FTR would be the best team to have that kind of mentality with.
Yeah, they look, like they say, they're all no flips, just fists. That's exactly what they are. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to light up the room, but they're going to win. And that's what I like. I like winners, Flobo. And I like people who are the champions before saying they're the best in the world. Speaking of people who can't say they're the champions, let's talk about Orange Cassidy tonight. I think, Orange Cassidy is someone that it's hard to feel bad when he loses when he doesn't try until it's too late. You know, it's like the person that doesn't do their homework until right before class starts and then trying to make me feel bad for him. Dude, you should have been working hard in the gym. You should have been working hard in the training room. You should have been working hard watching the tape. And you should have worked hard the second the bell rang. And you should have worked hard until the bell rang at the end of the match. But when you come in acting lazy, acting silly, not taking it seriously, you're going to lose matches.
That is a very spicy take. Because I remember last year when AEW debuted, and I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of independent wrestlers I know and I like, but I have not seen Orange Cassidy until he was signed by AEW. I said, WTF, what is it? It's great. It's funny. It's entertaining, as they say. But there's no way this guy could be a credible threat based on his mannerisms, hands in pockets, big sunglasses, acid wash jeans, all that stuff. But you know what? Over time, we saw Orange Cassidy, as they say out there in the internet wrestling community, can go. He can go. But now he has been gone for so long doing the things in the ring. That character he has is now becoming ball and chain. We all knew going into this match that Cody was going to retain. I did not think for a second that Cody is going to get destroyed by Brody Lee, come back and take his heat, and then lose again to Orange Cassidy. But the way that match ended was so heartbreaking. If I was an Orange Cassidy fan, to take a parlance from Jack Farmer, I would start wondering if I should start selling his stock. Orange Cassidy needs a revamp, a remix, perhaps ironic because he worked with Jericho this year, and it has to happen soon.
It's something where we always say, I want to see progression. I want to see someone grow. And I think that's why I like guys like Hangman so much. I like Omega and what he's doing. I will say at Revolution, when he had a match with Pac, I loved it. It was one of my favorite matches because that was my first real time seeing Orange Cassidy in the ring as well. And but I don't know if he's any different now than he was during that match at Revolution, except now I've seen the match at Revolution. Now I've seen the matches with Jericho. Now I've seen the match twice with Cody Rhodes. I want to see, you know, I look at, again, people like even Sammy Guevara. He's different than he was a year ago. MJF is different than he was a year ago. This is the same Orange Cassidy from a year ago.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's some talents that have a longer life cycle. There's some talents that go 2 years, 3 years without changing up, 4 years without changing up. I just think that since Orange Cassidy is so unique in what he does, that timeline is a lot shorter. And the same thing with like gimmicks, you know, except for The Undertaker. But like if I came up with a scary gimmick, you know, 6 months later, people are asking, well, that doesn't really scare me anymore. What else you got?
Unless and, you put worms in your mouth, that's terrifying no matter what.
That is classic.
I like the sass on that. Classic.
Yeah.
Speaking of classic, Cody, he wins here. And, you know, I didn't like this. And I'm so glad that the Dark Order was here because it looked like there was a bunch of lumberjacks that kept trying to get more involved than they should. Like the best friends throwing Cody to the ground. The gun family running around causing problems. I'm so glad that the Dark Order was here so that they could keep order. And when things broke down, I'm glad that they were able to say, like, look, we're not going to let you make a mockery of this match and really put those guys into check. I think that we should all be thankful for the Dark Order here.
Wait, so there was a lumber match, and you're just surprised it broke down. I mean, that's the whole point of it, baby. No one goes to a lumber match being like, we're going to be as orderly as possible. Let's do things the way we want to. But I know you, Jack. The entire time I've known you, you've always been about that Dark Order. You've always been about being part of that whole, I can't even say cult, because Brody Lee looked after me. So now the true colors are out, man. You're just a sympathizer, if you will, to the occult arts. I am ashamed and appalled.
Do you want me to condemn them or say?
Yes, that's bad news.
Listen, okay, look, Dark Order, stand down and stand by.
Oh my God. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I guess I can't join now. But the match next week is going to be because Cody's going to take Gun Club, so.
Oh, that's the end of my broadcast career. Anyways, the
fancy.
The so Darby Allin watching from a distance, speaking of guys who I need to see more from, I can't believe all this was going on and he just sat up there and did nothing.
Maybe he was tired. Long day. I don't know.
That's a long day.
I don't know. It was
doing his makeup and rolling down ramps in a body bag.
Right, exactly. I don't know what his deal is. Kind of taking the page out of Sting's book, but we could make fun of. We could steal gimmick things from 20 years ago. I like the fact that we were complaining about Darby Allin. We were saying he would probably be done, needs a refresh. Not quite that, but now he may have different motivations. So that might be fun to watch.
It'll be interesting. I don't really like if he needs to win at Full Gear, right?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know what else he can do if he doesn't win. It's kind of now or never for him.
I always say that, but every time I ever put that on a wrestler and they don't, it's like, oh. And then he won a title 3 months after that. And I go, oh. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, it's true.
But I do think so. It's a must win, I think.
I do remember saying one Drew McIntyre had nothing left, and then he went on to win the Royal Rumble and become a champion. So I want to talk. Speaking of champions, Serena Deeb, she won the NWA Women's Championship and from Thunder Rosa on, I believe it was a United Wrestling Network. She won that match. Which has got some really cool stuff going. If you guys are looking for alternatives, it's a great place to check out. Definitely recommend them. But it was, she had a match and she defended the title today. My thing, she was great. I think this is like one of those, we talk about buying stocks and wrestlers, AEW signing her right before she won the title. This has to be one of the best stock purchases of a wrestler in recent years. I think it's a huge boon for them and the women's division. And Layla Hirsch, by the way, I don't know if you saw her on AEW Dark, really talented. She had a good match as well. It feels like the women's division, and I know it's had some issues along the way, but it feels like AEW's done a good job of planting a lot of seeds for the women's division. And right now, we're at that point where like you're just seeing the blades of grass just barely sticking up through the dirt. But that means come springtime, we're going to have a great harvest. This is a weird analogy, but
I think it was a draft. I was like, what?
Okay. I think their division is going to, if we're patient enough, I think they're going to come out with a really solid women's division.
Yeah, that's the true thing about any wrestling promotion. So for those of you out there, you want to start, right? You get your talent, you sign them from wherever, and then you start planting the seeds for your next generation. And Serena Deeb is a veteran. Never quite got to the elite level. She never headlined WrestleMania. She never did Starrcade. I don't know if she was around in Starrcade. But now she's a point of her career where she can teach others. So now you can maybe have a pipeline to help develop talent. Once they're young and they're signed, you have a veteran in the locker room who is a constant that can teach you everything. Now, I can't mention this without mentioning the NWA. I am totally bearish on the National Wrestling Alliance and what it stands for. To me, I don't think this Primetime Live is an alliance. It's really Corgan going, Marquez, please save my toy so they still have some corner of say. That's my hot take. That opinion is just me alone. Flobo, at me on Twitter if you disagree. But I will say this. Having the NWA title back on AEW helps both brands. Because, one, for the NWA, this title's traveled, almost like the classic NWA of days of yore. And two, AEW has said, look, we are so good, we're supporting two different divisions now. That gives you two different flavors of women's action. Serena Deeb takes on Layla Hirsch, and announced with Full Gear, you got Sheeta and Nyla Rose in the rematch. Two different types of women's combat in AEW. So no one can sit there and say, there's no division, there's two.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things I like about chatting with you is you understand a lot of the business side of things. And I'm here for my reckless speculation. That's what I bring to the table. But you do a good job of like really understanding why things are happening. I'm just gonna throw this out there because you did bring up the hot take. Why doesn't the NWA just do shows?
Right. So when you do shows, whether or not it's inside or outside or social distance or not. There's so many things you got to clear, right? So there's some states that still treat wrestling as a sport. So you have to get that clearance for that. Then you have the actual hardware, the rings and all that stuff, your payment plans, how you're going to pay your talent, which talents are going to fly in. Even a small promotion in Southern California, we have bar wrestling, right? Before it closed down for whatever reason, you have to think about the location, the wrangling of fans, if there's going to be fans, the taping schedules, all that stuff. That is a hassle because you have to keep alternative talent on your shows too. You got to pay people to be there in case Joey the Rome Barone says that I have to come to your show that week. I love Joey. Don't tag him on this one. So if you have all this talent and you have all these belts, you have all these watermarks, you have all this logo and branding, it behooves you as a cost-saving measure to sign up. Can I have a collab or alliance with someone else? We do that all the time in the real life. Either, hey, I can't make my website. Can I collab with someone and do it for me? Dave Marquez was on NWA. He was a commentator, but he has his own wrestling network in the Southern California, in Arizona, underneath the United Wrestling umbrella. Hey, let's have a collaboration with my well-known brand with your already infrastructure in place. I can loan you out my toys, and that belt that people have forgotten about because not watching Power has now appeared on two different nationally syndicated shows in the same week. It should be everyone wins, money aside. I'm not sure who's getting paid, but I think it's a good tactic to use if you see the walls closing in Corgan's case.
I have to feel like if I'm one of the companies, you know, putting their talent on my roster, I'm trying to get away to sneak them away. You know, I and not even in like a mean negative way. I think that's just the nature of the beast. If you have talent, you're trying to get talent. That's, I feel like that's half of the wrestling business is getting the talent onto your roster. And, you know, the other half is obviously promoting it, but getting them there. And I feel like you've already got their foot in the door. You have them over for coffee. So you know, speaking of coffee, Broster's Coffee, promo code BROCODE1. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to infer that they're
doing that. That's true with any
sport,
especially in soccer. You know, when you have a team that is over budget, they put a guy out on loan just to make sure they're under cap, and they go to some other team, that team loves them. They try buying that talent right outright. So that is a risk you take as a general manager or anything, but wrestling's no different.
Yeah, Mons, real quick, he mentions, could there be an AEW versus NWA story? I would love to see that. And in fact, Flobo and I were chatting about it. We were doing our little what if texting back and forth. And my fantasy booking. I don't do a whole lot of fantasy booking because it gets you expecting things that are never promised. But I would love to see Nick Aldis come in. I would love to see him team up with FTR and Tully and Sean Spears and create that four horsemen team that we've had teased for so long, but with the actual 10 pounds of gold in his hands. And I'd love to see him feud with the remaining members of the Elite. And I'd like to see it happen at Blood and Guts. That's what I would love to see. I'd love to see the Elite get the win there and then get Cody a shot at the 10 pounds of gold because he can't go for the AEW title. So he goes for the 10 pounds of gold and Nick Aldis retains. And that way he can go, you know, AEW, they get their win on their side with Blood and Guts. But then Nick Aldis can go back with a huge title retaining match against Cody Rhodes. Win, win, win all around, I say.
I love it, except for the Blood and Guts thing. It's like all the pathogens, bro. There's no way.
At mask and glove.
I want to retain my title. That'd
be the safest wrestling event of the year.
Right.
They really just, it's just like a game of Pokemon, but with wrestling moves instead.
Headlock.
I play headlock. Oh, man. Oh,
super effective.
Speaking of Sean Spears, real quick, I know we're running out of time. I did want to say he had a match, and it's always, when you get the graphic that says so-and-so in action tonight, you know, it's going to be a quick match. You know, that person's going to get the win. Sean Spears looking like he's been adding some weights to the barbells in the weight room lately, getting a little bit bigger. It's easy to forget how good he really is, and it's easy to forget how big of a jerk Scorpio Sky can be, sneaking up on him in a mask like a villain and attacking him. I think it was totally unfair. I can't believe Scorpio Sky did that. I thought he was better than that. It looks like we're gonna get a nice little rivalry between these two. What are you thinking about Scorpio Sky versus Sean Spears?
I liked it. I think the idea makes sense. For the longest time, these were, I would say, two specifically members of the AEW roster where we all thought was destined for more or greatness, and for whatever reason did not work out. I'm not playing the blame game. Sometimes it just happens that way. This could be a start of a streak for either one of them. What I am concerned about is this guy, Scorpio Sky, Jack's best friend last year, but apparently he hates him now tonight. If he loses against a guy that hasn't really won a angle or feud for the better part of a year, is he pretty much at zero now? I would think he's not now, but I think he'd be very close to zero if he loses to Sean Spears next week. And if Sean Spears loses again and Scorpio Sky wins, does that really add a feather to Scorpio Sky's cap? Questions I ask.
Look, to Sean Spears' credit, he is on a win streak. He's been getting some wins. They're on Dark. I know everyone rolls their eyes when you hear that it's on Dark, but Dark has actually been, one, sneaking in some really good talent lately, and they've been putting on some interesting programs. Your boy Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler, by the way, one of the most interesting rivalries I've ever seen, and I actually got really emotionally involved. If you guys don't follow Dark, they went this entire time neither of them ever winning a match. Then they started tag teaming. They couldn't win a match that way. Then they decided to have matches with each other, and they kept going to no contests. Yeah. And so they actually had the final blow-off match. Which one of them finally got their first win? You got to go check out Dark to find out. But I was actually kind of emotionally invested into it. So anyways, I think that kind of does it for us. There's a few other things. I guess I would say I like Miro and where he's going with this. Like, I'm kind of goofy and silly and then really angry and scary really quick. It's kind of an interesting character development there with him.
I love his shorts. They're nice.
He's got good shorts as well. But before we go, we're going to do a quick Elite of the Week. I forgot to prepare it again, guys. I'm the worst. I know I didn't prepare it. But real quick, let's break it down. That way, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Elite of the Week, where we count down the top five from this week's AEW. And starting at number five, I'm going Cody Rhodes. He retained the TNT title in a lumberjack match. Thankfully, the Dark Order was there to keep order, but he retained against a very game Orange Cassidy. He's number five. At number four. We are going with MJF. He's finding a way to sneak into the most powerful and dominant faction on AEW, and he could become even more powerful with a big win against the champion. I see he's playing chess, and he is about to take the queen. And at number three, speaking of queens, I'm going to go with Serena Deeb. She's the NWA Women's Champion, showing out and representing on AEW and really showing that, as Flo Bo said, it's not just one great division, it's two great divisions on AEW. So she gets the number three spot. At number two, I'm going with Hangman Adam Page, the rootinest, tootinest, buttless, chaps-wearing cowboy, with a big win over the Herculean Hurricane of Havoc Wardlow. I think that he is going to do big things in this tournament. Don't count him out yet. But at number one, I'm giving it to Omega, the cleaner, coming back with a main event win against Penta, beating the Lucha Bros essentially, because he, you know, way that worked out. Strong ending, Jack. Good job. Kenny Omega, you're the number one on Elite of the Week this week.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So that's about it from us. We just hit the hour mark, meaning I gotta wrap it up real quick. Are you going to dress up as anyone for Halloween? All of Charlene's comment here.
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on, you gotta dress up as somebody.
For who? I'm in my house. I'm alone in the club. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, you gotta do something fun though. Just, I mean, no one.
All right, Jack, what are you doing as Halloween?
I'm going as the all jeans outfit of Justin Timberlake.
Oh, come on, bro. That's just you wearing jeans.
I had an answer. What are you? Oh,
fine. I'm going as the all jeans wearing version. I don't know. Who's like me? Who looks like me? I have no idea.
Jim Cornette.
Yeah. I'm going as Black Jim Cornette. No, please. I'll get canceled so fast. Don't do that.
Well, that said, Flobo, can you let the world know where they can find you on social media and the world?
You can follow me at Flobo Boyce on Twitter, at Flobito, on Instagram, Flobito.com, and New Amsterdam, that's KNEW, NewAmsterdam.com for information on all the shows. Strength and Gold, special time tomorrow. We'll be talking NXT UK, NXT action. So stick around for that tomorrow on Thursdays. Yeah.
You know, I'm really excited about UK. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying chatting NXT with you as well. I heard it was a banger of an episode tonight. I'm excited to check that out. I'll probably watch that tonight. By the way, from what I understand, UK is on an hour later tomorrow.
Correct.
So that means our show's on an hour later.
Correct.
So if you watch NXT Draped in Gold, make sure to tune in an hour later for that. But now, Flobo, it's my turn to put myself over. That's right. Zoom in on me. My name is Jack Farmer. You can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the Draped in Gold podcast with Flobo. You can also check me out on the Everything Tournament. We're starting Everything Tournament number 7 next week, where it's going to be all Marvel Cinematic Universe. What is the greatest thing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? You're gonna have to tune in to find out. You can also check me out on the Anytime Radio Show every single Monday, a new episode. This week it was all Halloween theme. It was really fun. And also, hot fresh news off the presses, we made a little upgrade over at the Anytime Radio Show. We made a big move. We are now not on that long, obnoxious URL of www.theanytimeradioshow.com. Nope, we shortened it. You can now find us at the easy peasy anytimeradio.com. That's where I am, and you can check me out there all the time.
Wow. It's all nice and easy to type. Thanks so much, Jack.
Yeah, totally worth it. I'm glad I did it. And now I have Anytime Radio zip-up hoodies on my realjackfarmer.threadless.com.
Oh, man, and the dogs are going crazy about it. It's awesome. Yep. I can't wait to get one.
I was about to say, that's my timer. It's time for me to go.
Time for a walk.
That is Russell saying goodbye. That means we're going to wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, do your best and be yourself.